Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Sound Guy Nation, welcome to another show here on another Friday afternoon. Real fast, some show notes. If you're looking for some wrestling, there's a little bit out there. Tonight, WCWO in Indianapolis, Indiana, like usual. PSW in Piedmont, Alabama. And Pro Wrestling King happening in Bourbon, Indiana. Tomorrow night, NEW in Navo, Alabama. You have RCCW in Hazel Green, Alabama. And TPW happening in Knoxville, Tennessee tomorrow night. But without any further ado, I want to welcome our guest back onto the show. It has been an extremely long time since he's been here. We're excited he's back. Josh Blaze, how have you been?
Doing well. Been keeping busy.
Well, as we know, you have not been active in pro wrestling for a while now. You chose to step away, pursue other things. Can we ask why it was you felt at that time it was the proper time to say goodbye for a while?
Basically, a good chunk of it was just pain. My body was finally taking its toll. My knees weren't getting any better. They were getting worse, especially because, if everybody remembers, my big move was the moonsault or a twisting moonsault. And it really takes the toll on the knees, and it finally caught up to me, and it didn't get any better. It just got worse each and every month, we'll say. And so I was like, okay, I really can't be doing this anymore. So I decided to step away, amongst a couple minor other things.
And we know that the knees were a problem, and moonsaults can definitely wreck your knees if you do them regularly. But I'm sure you also had some of the other aches and pains and injuries from pro wrestling. What were some of the other injuries that you had to deal with during your career?
It was a lot of knee injuries. I had times where the back of my knee would pop, and then I could hardly walk on it, and still had to continue a match. So I had to, do as best as I could, keeping weight on the other leg. Back injuries kind of settled into. My back hasn't gotten any better either. I think that's the majority of any kind of injuries that I've had. Maybe a couple concussions.
Concussions Otherwise, are never a fun day at the office.
Yeah. I feel like some of those could have been prevented. Maybe one or two that just, it is what it is, because it was, somebody's finisher, strike to the head, and, it is what it is, but some of the other stuff could have been very well prevented, and just, I could have said, hey, stop, this is not okay, but, stupid me, I didn't. I just let him continue. And what I'm talking about was somebody, I don't remember who it was exactly, but they took a cookie sheet. I want to say one of your old cookie sheets, one of your signs, and they just kept beating me over the top of the head with it. And, you know, I wanted to tell them stop, but, you know, I figured if I did that, then, you know, because I'm low end of the totem pole rookie status. I'm telling somebody who's been around been around wrestling for a while, telling them to stop, you know, that's going to create some tension. And that's one of the one things I didn't want, was tension between people in the locker room, regardless if it ever happened or not.
My apologies if I led to a concussion for you, but yeah, definitely I don't like seeing anyone go through that. Now, I recall at least on one occasion you also were busted open in a steel cage match and were bleeding quite a bit. And blood in wrestling has become sort of a hot topic in recent times just because of medical science catching up and informing us of things we didn't know before. In your days in wrestling, was blood something that you ever gave consideration to, or were you feeling fairly safe if there was blood introduced in a match?
I felt pretty safe to it because, you know, people who have been busted open have been around for a while and they know what they're doing. So, and they would, you know, not to bring any kind of kayfabe here, but, you know, people would say, hey, you know, this is what's going to happen, you know, and I trust them on that. As far as the steel cage injury, yeah, thank you for breaking that up. I totally forgot about that. Yeah, the cage door was shut on my head. And that was one of the worst pains I've ever had to deal with in wrestling. You know, thankfully, things could have been a lot worse, you know, broken limbs or separated limbs, you know, stuff like that. But no, blessed be, that was like one of the biggest injuries I ever had to deal with. Yes, I bled pretty well because the head tends to bleed a lot. And, I had people tell me, hey, you know you're bleeding, right? I'm just like, yes, I know. There's nothing I can do about it right now. Let's just keep going. And we did. And I proceeded to do a lot of high risk stuff, including that match was my introduction, bringing in the twisting moonsault. And even with that head injury, I did it anyway. It still looked wonderful, but you know, probably not one of the smartest decisions I've made. The thing that really kind of drove me insane was that somebody else took the rap for busting my head open when it was clear as day that they had nothing to do with it. And so, you know, they decided to promo that, oh yeah, I busted him open after he got out of the cage, after attacking him, blah, 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 blah. It's like, no, you didn't. It was clear as day that the fans and everybody around could see that Mike was busted open well before you even got to me. Like, well, I think like 10, 15 minutes well before he even laid a punch on me. So it's like, why would you do that? Why would you even consider, you know, taking the rap of, yeah, I'm the one who did it. No, I'm the one responsible. No. Everybody saw that there was a dark red patch or whatever dark color. I'm sure it was dark red, but they saw a dark patch on my map, and it was clear as day. In fact, the blood was going through my map because, you know, you hit your head really hard. What's the first thing you're going to do? You're going to hold your head because it hurts. And when I took my hand off my head, my palm was covered in spotted red because of the map. It was like, okay, I'm bleeding. This sucks. But there's nothing I can do about it. And then, going back to the back after my section was done, I pulled off my mask and my face was just covered in red, and everybody's just like, "What the hell? What happened?" I was like, "Nah, cage door. I'll be fine. Whatever." So. But yeah, that was the story on that. Otherwise, any other injuries, I didn't really have any.
Now, in the course of your career, you had quite a few managers in your day. I can think of at least three or four managers that you were aligned with during the course of your wrestling career.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of having a manager for the bulk of your career, and whom would you say was the best fit for you personally as a manager?
I gotta kind of think about who was an actual manager status. The only one I could think of was you. I mean, if we want to count Stevie as a manager, then a valet, that's, I mean, okay, sure. I don't even know if I would even consider Coach Mike Jones as a manager. Actually, I probably wouldn't. I wouldn't. Being a part of his group, it was more of a mentor status rather than a manager. Those are the only two I can think of. I'm wrong. There was Bobby Steele. Bobby. that was a fun time. Bobby was good. Bobby was really good at what he did. It was a shame to see how things progressed and how he left. But he was a fun manager. I don't know. Would we count John Waroxa as a manager?
I think he briefly did manage you. We could count John.
Okay. Unfortunately, for John, it was only one time. And that's a point in time I'd like to get into a little bit later. Majority of the time of having a manager, it's always either been you or Stevie. I think you were, because of, I don't even want to say a condition or an issue. But I think you were a lot more active in a managerial role because you were capable of doing so. I'd have to go with you. I just
appreciate
because
that.
You were a lot more active than the managerial role. Not to say that Stevie wasn't. You know, Stevie was fine, you know, for what she was capable of doing. And I'm by no means discrediting her or talking down about her by any means. Stevie is a wonderful person.
Absolutely. Now, one of the things you were also known for in your career was tag team wrestling. You teamed with a few different partners over the years and captured some tag team championships. Did you personally have a preference when it came to tag teams versus singles?
Not really, no. I thought I did fairly well with both singles and tag teams. It is true, I did have quite a few tag partners. And only two of them, I believe, I had tag team gold with. It was a real shame that my first partner, Alex, a lot of people saw, you know, so much potential in us as a team. And I thought it was going to go places. It was going to get us somewhere. Unfortunately, Alex had other things and other commitments and priorities. So he ended up stepping away and not returning. We were going to try to have him return. Fell through. He just said, I'm done. No, I'm done with wrestling. So I said, you know what, that's fair. Let's see, then there was the outpatient, which was fairly short-lived. There was Wild Lyle, which, again, short-lived. Dave Turner. Oh man, I miss Dave. He and I held the tag gold for a good while, and unfortunately, we didn't really defend it as much as I would have liked. But you know, who am I to say anything about matches? But yeah, a lot of our matches involved, trios. Yeah, mainly trios. And we did also singles matches as well. I think we may have defended the titles once or twice as an actual tag team. And then we ended up, I want to say we ended up losing our titles in a tag team gauntlet. We lost to Randy Zellers and I think he goes by Jaden, Kane Jaden or something like that.
You know, yeah, Kane Jaden.
You know, yeah, thank you. Very proud of him. I haven't spoken to him in a little while, but I've seen his progress. Very proud of him. You know, I'm glad he's doing much better in the, you know, in the scene. And it sounds like Randy's doing much better in the scene too. You know, been trying to low key keep up with a couple local promotions, but it's been kind of difficult. I met up with Dave at WAC one time and went there to show my support to him. You know, got to chat with him for a while. It was a lot of fun. Met up again with Christian Andes, who I also haven't seen in forever. We got to talking for a little bit. saw a few other people that I've worked in the locker room with, but I don't think they recognized me. So I just kind of let it be and let them do their own thing because they seem busy. And then lastly, Ian Bear. Me and Ian teaming was a straight up drop the ball missed opportunity. I want to say that we started teaming because Ian was looking for a partner, and there was a fatal four-way match, I believe, and the winner of that got to be his partner and ended up being me. So we showed just kind of like disgust to each other, like, no, I don't like him. I don't like him either. And we ended up facing Triple D and a name I don't know if I'm allowed to bring up anymore, but we'll just leave it at that. and we took the belt off them. And because of that, I thought it was going to turn into, a really, really good story. You have a face and a heel as tag champs, and at that time, WWE was doing Team Hell No. You had, Kane and Daniel Bryan, a face and a heel in as a team trying to work it out, and they did. They worked it out wonderfully. And I think that's originally what they were trying to go for between Ian and myself. But the teaming was so short-lived, we dropped the titles the next show, and our team was dropped that same night. So it's like, oh my gosh, whoever was running it, you really dropped the ball on this. This could have been comedy gold. This could have been really, really good. But I don't know what possessed them to have us win the tag titles, face and a heel, and then immediately the next show, I want to even say less than a month later, we dropped the titles to the same team we lost it to. And it's like, that was such a missed opportunity. To this day, I'm still a little butthurt about that because Ian is such a joy to work with, whether you're going against him or teaming with him. Just a little salty about it that it didn't progress any further than a few weeks. But again, who am I to say anything? Because I'm just, I'm just the person that's supposed to do the job. Tag team was fun. Doing singles was fun too. But tag teams, I think you were able to do a lot more creative things, especially double team moves. So much we could do with that. And, at the same time, I wish that I was able to do more.
Well, we have hit the point of the show where we have a game we like to play called Word Association. I'll throw out the names of some guys that you most likely have come across in your career, and the first word or two that pops to your mind is the answer. Are you prepared for some word association?
Sure.
Here we go. First name up, Randy Zellers.
Goofy.
Dave Turner.
dependable. Very dependable.
Tammy O'Connor.
Sweetheart.
Damon Scythe.
Oh, Damon Scythe. Wow. Oh, man. He was a joy to work with, too. Dedicated.
Sam Sims.
Oh man, I miss Sam. God, he was a really good heel manager too. I'll leave it at that.
The best ref in the Pacific Northwest, Little Mitchie Ferguson.
All right, Mitch. Mitch, yeah, wow. That's a name I haven't heard of in a while. Solid. Solid ref.
Stevie Jonak.
Again, sweetheart.
Alex Hawk.
Best friend.
Darth Carter.
Oh man. Something else.
Sunny Days.
I'm sorry, who?
Sunny Days.
Sunny Days. Oh, man. She was a firecracker.
Kevin Brandt.
Oh, Kevin Brandt. That's a tough one because I didn't really have much of an association with him. I've hardly talked to the guy. I don't think I could really come up with something for him.
All right. Final name, C.J. Edwards.
C.J. Edwards. Man, I wish I'd done more stuff with him. I gotta go with his old moniker, Little Chocolate Drop.
Good enough. Well, at this point, my co-host QT is standing by, and I know he has questions, so Theosophius, I pass things over to him for a bit.
All right.
Well, thank you, sign guy. Hello, Josh.
Hey, how you been?
Not too bad. I'd like to expand Sign Guy's word association, if I might, with two wrestlers. Are you ready for an expanded word association?
Yeah, sure.
How about Dash Venture?
Oh, Dash. Crazy.
Okay. How about Diafola Debashi?
Oh, man. Oh, Debashi. Oh, man. That was another guy that was a joy to work with. God, he was so good at what he did. Maniac.
Okay. But would you say Maniac on the Floor, like the song?
Oh,
he's a
no.
Maniac on the Floor. Oh, okay.
Right.
All right. And the last one, Aaron Bolo.
Oh, Aaron, man, legend. One of the first people one of the first talents in the Pacific Northwest I ever spoke to. God, I miss him. I hope he's doing well. Yeah, legend.
Okay. All right. Well, Josh, as you may have known or have kept up, Randy Zellers was once a member of Alpha Sigma Sigma. He has since moved on from Alpha Sigma Sigma and has become a part-time member of our Turnbuckle Turmoil staff. Do you believe that this was a career enhancement move-up for Randy Zellers to get away from Alpha Sigma Sigma and join Turnbuckle Turmoil?
Well, yes, considering I believe Alpha Sigma Sigma is no longer around. I'd say yes.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Josh, as you know, I take great care in publishing the weekly rankings. Now, it's been slowed a little bit by the COVID-19, but I still publish the weekly rankings when I can. And as you know, the number one ranked wrestler gets a fruit pie. Past winners have included Emily Wakarasa and John Wakarasa and Randy Zellers himself. But I can't recall you, Josh, getting a fruit pie. How soul-crushing was that not to receive a fruit pie ever and a number one ranking?
It was probably for the best.
Oh!
I have never considered myself any kind of top contender in any kind of, we'll say, rankings, power rankings, whatever you'd like to call it. I don't ever would have seen myself up at number one.
I think at one point you were ranked number four, so that's pretty good.
Okay. It's been a long time, so I really don't recall. I'll take number four. Number four is a good one.
All right. Oh, and at this time, I'd like to have a double secret probation word association. One more wrestler, if I could. Are you ready for a double secret extension? Extension, that's the word I was using for one more wrestler. Are you ready?
If it's a secret, I don't know if I should participate. But for the sake of the show, sure. I'll do one more.
All right. How about the wrestler known as Hostel?
Oh, Big Hoss. You know, it's a shame that I didn't get to work with him more than I did. I really would have enjoyed working with him a lot more. I've always seen him as a good human, so probably leave it at that.
Okay. All right. Very good. How about Christopher Ryzik?
Oh my God. Oh, the Ideal Reflection. Man, another PNW legend who was so good at what he did. Oh man. Man, I don't know if you were aware, but I was also in a character where I teamed with him too at one promotion down south, and it was a fun time. Unfortunately, I ended up having a knee injury in the middle of the match. My knee popped. I don't remember when, but it was definitely noticeable to a lot of the other people that, you know, yeah, hey, I have a leg injury. My knee's, you know, in pain. Oh God. Ideal reflection, man. we'll just say pretty boy.
Okay, pretty boy. All right. Now, do you agree with his assessment that most Northwest wrestling fans are one cheeseburger away from a diabetic coma?
Oh, man. One cheeseburger away from a diabetic coma. Man. Let's see. What else did he have? Not enough protein shakes in their life. Oh, the jackalopes. And, oh, man. He had so much. just a straight face. No, I'm gonna stay face and say no. I think he's wrong.
Wow. All right. Okay. Very good. Okay. Well, Josh, I saw your YouTube video entitled "Patient / Josh Blaze versus ICW Part 1," and this took place way back in 2011, almost to the month. This was the second match of the SCW Triple Crown Tag Team Championship that featured you and the Outpatient versus Randy the Pimp Taylor and the Chef. My first question is, in what capacity did Sign Guy serve when he came out of the back with you guys? Was he a financial planner or perhaps a spiritual advisor? Or was Sign Guy there to make sure that Randy the Pimp Taylor and the Chef did not have a ringer or someone who was going to dash out the back, and I'm not talking about Dash Venture, and save them from the inevitable defeat?
You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I really don't remember that match.
Oh.
I remember going against Randy Taylor once. But I don't recall if that was the match or not. I'm sorry. I don't know how to answer that. I really don't remember that match.
Oh, okay. That's no problem. I'm going to ask questions about this match, and I think by symbiosis, I think you'll probably be able to answer the questions by symbiosis. Okay. Now, in this match, I know you. This might not be the first question where you can remember anything, but they hit Randy the Pimp Taylor's entrance music at the 2 minute and 47 mark of the video, and he didn't come through the curtain until the 3:42 mark, or 55 seconds later. 55 seconds is a long time. My question is, how many quarter mile nitrous burning fuel injected quarter mile drag races do you think pioneering female drag racer Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney could have completed when she burst onto the NHRA drag scene back in 1970? How many drag races do you think quarter mile could be complete in 55 seconds?
Is that just from start to finish, or start to finish, bring the car back around, get set up, and then go again?
No, start to finish, right when the Christmas tree reaches the bottom to the finish line.
Okay. God, I imagine at least a few times.
The answer is 11. 5 second quarter miles, and I think she could do 11 of them in 55 seconds for an elapsed time. 11 quarter miles in under a minute. Yes. Okay. That's Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney. Okay. All right. Well, Josh, I noticed that whenever Chef made his entrances, he banged the pot, a stock pot lot, but it always was empty. In your opinion, how much more effective would it have been if Chef came out with an actual scoop in the pot, plus plastic bowls for the fans, say a nice mulligatawny soup? How much more effective would he have been?
Probably not very effective because, you know, if he was passing around soup to the fans, you know, let's just say each fan got a bowl of soup. One, I think he'd run out of soup and would disappoint some of the fans that wanted the soup but didn't get it. And he'd probably take longer than Randy the Big Taylor coming out to his entrance.
55 seconds, yes. Okay. All right. In your opinion, does the chef bear a slight resemblance to the soup Nazi on Seinfeld?
I wouldn't know.
Oh, okay. You never saw that episode?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, Josh, your homework assignment is to go on YouTube and look up the soup Nazi on Seinfeld.
Okay.
Okay, it'll be worth your while. Okay, all right. Well, Josh, I know you can't quite remember the video, although I'm hoping fleeting images are starting to creep back in your mind. If you freeze it at the 4:51 mark, you will be able to see Sign Guy, and in his left hand is a picture of a lucha wrestler, and it says, Face of the Future. Was the picture? Can you recall if the picture was signed by you, and was it once hanging in the sports card shop called Who's on First in Marysville, Washington? Now in hindsight, you probably won't be able to remember that, but he was carrying a sign, Face of the Future.
Sign Guy had so many different things on his sign that I couldn't tell you what all of them were. So I'll have to continue my answer of I really don't remember.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, Josh, you probably won't be able to also answer this question, but I'm going to read it you do remember this. Josh, what did you think of Sign Guy being hit on the head with a stock pot by Chef outside the ring at the 9:04 mark? The outpatient seemed to be enraged by this, came to Sign Guy's aid, and threw the chef back in the ring. This gave you an opportunity to pounce on the chef, but again, did you see Sign Guy get hit with a stock pot? I'm going to expand that and say, do you ever remember Sign Guy getting hit in the head by a stock pot? Maybe not this particular match.
No, I don't ever recall him being hit in the head by a stock pot.
Oh, okay. To me, it sounded like the metal of the stock pot was a little bit thin. Okay. All right. Well, Josh, Randy banged your head off a top turnbuckle at one point in the match, turned you around, pulled up your shirt, and gave you a knife-edge chop at the 10:09 mark of the match. He then walked you to the next ring post, gave you another chop at the 10:22 mark, and this brought you to your knees at the 10:25 mark. My question is, in your wrestling career, was Randy the Pimp one of the top three knife-edge choppers you have ever felt in the Northwest?
Oh, abso-freaking-lutely. Dude's chops were like no other. Oh my God, yeah. No, I the one thing I remember about me being in a match with Randy was his chops. That's the one thing I'll always remember. But yeah, no, top three, oh yeah, for sure.
Wow, okay, all right. Well, do you ever remember getting knife edge chopped by the powerhouse Princess Lila Lodge?
On the chest, no. On the back, yes.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, okay. I wouldn't call it a knife edge, but an overhand.
Oh, okay, overhand. Okay.
I remember getting an overhand. It was during a rumble, and I was working on someone else, and she came up behind me and just overhand chopped me on the middle of the back. And, you know, that's not something you expect, and, you know, that hurts. Especially if
wow.
you don't see it coming. You don't know it's coming.
Okay. All right. No, okay. That would be, yes. Okay. Kind of like falling into an ice-filled river. Yes. Yes. Well, Josh, Sign Guy and myself will try to send you a clip of this video that I base my questions on, and you'll be very interested to see what happened at the 11:02 mark and from the 11:01 to 11:02 mark. I will explain what happened, and this will be a benchmark for you to zero in on this video. What happened was, after a third knife-edge chop, Randy delivered a leg drop to your lower abdomen, and Chef came in to take over. However, like I said, at the 11:01 mark to the 11:02 mark, you can see that although Randy swooshed his right hand through the air for the tag, he and Chef never tagged. Thus, Chef's continued tag team assault on you was never legal. Now, when you get a chance to view this video, I will be very curious to know if you will take legal action against the referee who was in the ring or ringside photographer Emily Wakarasa. Yes, I'll be very curious to know. That's what I'm getting at once you view the video. It was a tag that was never made.
It was, what, 9 years ago?
So yeah, 10 years.
Nine, 10 years ago, okay. That's, you know, at the time it is what it is, and, you know, I'm not going to be able to change that, so I'm most likely not going to do a darn thing.
Oh, okay. Do you want Sign Guy to still send the video to you?
not necessary.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. Okay. Well, Josh, at the 12:59 mark of the match, you soared about 4 feet off the mat and came down with a Hulk Hogan leg drop on the Chef. That was a huge vertical leap. My question is, in high school, during PE classes, did you have the opportunity to do the high jump? That's what I'm getting at.
No. No, I didn't do any jumping events. I did throwing events.
Oh, okay. Well, in high school, they throw the 12-pound shot put. I'm guessing your best distance was 38 feet 11 inches.
I don't remember how heavy it was. But, I'd say you're very, very close to that, close to the mark. But I think I had a very low 39 at one point.
39, okay. All right. Have you ever seen a wrestling fan in the Northwest bring a shot put or discus to an event? No, it happened at Blue Collar Wrestling. someone brought a shot put. I'm not going to name.
if they did, I would say I was not there for that. My my time at Blue Collar was very short, and I'd only been there maybe, I want to say, three times at the most.
Oh, okay. All right.
So,
well, so I'm going to spill the beans.
They've had shows, chances are somebody probably could have brought one in, but I wasn't there for it.
Well, let's put it this way. Buddy Highway was very interested in seeing the discus from that the fan brought and the shot put, and he got to hold them. First time anyone has held a shot put brought by the fan, Buddy Highway.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
I remember Buddy.
Oh, okay. Well, I think he went on to sing about it in a rap song. That's what I'm getting at, Buddy Highway, about a fan bringing a shot put, if you hear his music today. Yes. All right. Well, Josh, at the 13-minute and 20-second mark, you got Steph in a Bret Hart sharpshooter. Was the Hitman one of your favorites growing up? That's a good question.
He was one that I watched growing up, yes. Both he and Owen Hart. I'd say they both were.
All right. How do you think Randy the Pimp Taylor would have done in Stu Hart's dungeon?
I think he would have been just fine.
Really? Okay. How about Darth Carta?
I think he would have been broken.
like in a San Quentin prison setting? Broken?
You could take it as you will. He would have been snapped into and thrown out the door.
Oh, boy, that's a little bit harsh. I kind of like this Darth Carter. I think he could survive a prison setting. Yes. Especially San Quentin.
Think so? I don't think so. But, you know, your call.
All right. In theory, I'm just saying, say Darth Carter got busted for tax evasion and he was sent to San Quentin. Would Alex Hawk stop by and give him conjugal visits? Very good question.
Yeah, no. No.
Okay.
No.
All right. At this time, I'm going to turn it back over to Sun Guy. Back to you, Sun Guy.
All right. Thank you, QT. Well, Josh, I know at one point in time when Turnbuckle Turmoil produced a line of trading cards, there was a two fat guys in shorts trading card. People could pay money to get you and Alex Hawk's picture on a card if they so chose. Was there ever very much Josh Blaze merchandise outside of that available?
I actually had a photo that was done by John Rodriguez, very, very professionally done. He did so well with those pictures. I don't remember. Somebody else took actual digital photos, because the photo was a picture of me and my bullet and my other gear. And in the background, in the faded background, you could see me in mid moonsault and in mid twisting moonsault. Those were digitally taken by somebody else. And I gave those to John. He made this picture just pop. It was so wonderfully done. I had it out for, I think I had them out for one go on the merch table, and I don't think anybody bought one. So it was a flop. That's okay, because Josh wasn't really at FCW at the time anymore, so probably people would probably go in and be like, who is this guy? Is he on the show, or, you know, who is he? So, but yeah, I did have something, but it was a bust.
Well, we have a few minutes left here on the show, and I want to make sure you have ample time. So if there's anything you would like to say to the listeners today, plug and promote absolutely anything at all that you would like, floor is all yours.
Continue to support your local pro wrestling. Since I'm in the Pacific Northwest, continue to support WAC, Defy, Project 42, I think it is. I don't know if they're still a thing anymore, but Defy and WAC for sure. NWP, continue to support those. Oh, ECCW, and various others up in Canada, continue to support them. Be good to one another. Don't start shit. Pardon my French. Don't start drama, because that was one of another big reason why I left, because drama was just rampant between promotions and locker rooms, and it was not fun, and it made pro wrestling less fun for me. Despite it being a business. But yeah, just, you know, be good to one another. You guys are there for a common goal, and is to entertain people. Entertain people. Do that. If you all have beef with one another, settle it outside where nobody can see it. Because that's petty. Especially if you're doing it online or in front of fans. You know, leave the petty stuff out of it. Just do your thing. Have a good show. Have a good performance. Be good to each other. Be good to your fans. And, you know, just support one another. You're better off that way.
Very, very well said. Now, Josh, I want to thank you again for being on today. We absolutely loved having you back with us. It's been way, way too long. Hopefully we'll get to see you at a show at some point when live action returns. And definitely best of luck to you and all the things you're doing right now, and hopefully we see you soon.
Thank you. Thank you. We'll definitely talk again.
Absolutely. Fans, obviously there's YouTube available of Josh Blaze. If you want to go down memory lane, look up some of his matches. Hopefully we'll see him again soon at a show. And as we round out the show today, I want to make note that last week we lost WWE legend Kamala. He sadly passed away at the age of 70. So we're going to close out the show today here with the traditional 10-bell salute to him.
All right.